It's a blessing and honor to be here today. As I say every week, one of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. This week's Parsha, Parshas Vayechi, the end of Sefer Bereishis, and it's such a jam-packed Parsha. And we're going to do like we always do. We're going to ask a couple of questions, and then we're going to come out with that major yesod, that major foundation point that we could bring into our lives in a very real and practical way. The Torah tells us in the beginning, Perek Mem Zayin Pasuk Ches, Vayechi Yaakov Be'eretz Mitzrayim, Shva Esrei Shana. And Yaakov lived in the land of Mitzrayim for 17 years. Vayi Yimei Yaakov Shnei Chayov Sheva Shanim Ba'arba Umat Miyat Shana. And he was 147 years. Rashi brings down, right in the beginning, always the first Rashi, the Parsha, always a famous question and an answer. Lama Parsha Zus Stuma. Why is this Parsha, this passage, closed? We know normally there's a break between the Parshas, and over here, there's only one space, one letter, separating from the word Vayechi, from the word from before. Says Rashi, two answers. Leficha Kivan Sheniftar Yaakov Avinu, because once Yaakov passed away, Nitstamu Einayim V'Libon Shel Yisrael, the eyes and the heart of Yisrael were closed. Mitzaris Hashibud, because of the suffering of the enslavement, Shehezchilu Lishabdom, because the Egyptians were going to start to make them slaves. Then Rashi says, Davar Acher, Shebikesh Ligalos et Akeis. Yaakov wanted to reveal the end, a Gemara and Psochim Daf Nun Vav, but then it was closed off to him. Ask the great Or HaChaim HaKadosh, why was it that once Yaakov was Nifter, right from then, Nitstamu Einayim, the eyes and the heart of Yisrael were closed? What is the relevance? Why, right after Yaakov, and then the Shvatim, and then Yosef were Nifter, then we know we're going to get into Sefer Shemos next week. We're going to be introduced to Moshe Rabbeinu, a whole new Sefer. But why was it linked specifically to the death of Yaakov? And what was this idea that Yaakov wanted to reveal the end? And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yaakov, sorry, you're not going to be able to do it. And the Gemara tells us in Psachim and Daf Nun Vav that Yaakov is about to reveal the end of the days. Tell us about what's going to happen. And all of a sudden it was closed off to him. His eyes were closed. And he said the words, Baruch Shem Kivod Machuso Li'olam Va'ed. So why was the beginning of Yaakov's death? What was going on in terms of why, when he died, then the Shibud of Mitzrayim was going to start? Question one. Question two. We have the famous story of Ephraim and Menashe. Anyone that's going to hear any Divrei Torah this week should be zeichet to go to shul. And they're going to talk about the story of Ephraim and Menashe. And we all learned about it when we were little children. That Yaakov, again, we see Rav Soloveitchik often quoted, which I heard from my Rebbeim, that this is the first time we see a relationship between the grandfather and his grandchild. Again, there are midrashim about it, but it's clear in the Torah that Yaakov gave brachos to Ephraim and Menashe. And we know it's a very interesting story, because Yaakov was giving the brachos, and Yosef saw what was going on, and he switched the hands. And then Yaakov said, no, I know what I'm doing. And then he switches the hands back. And then he gives a bracha. And nowadays, some people, again, not everyone has the minhag, but some people have the minhag to give their children brachas. And the question that all the achronim are trying to figure out is, how come when someone gives a bracha to his daughter, they give the bracha of Kisara, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah? And when they give the bracha to their son, they give the bracha of Ephraim Menashe. Why don't you give the bracha of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? What's the discrepancy? Why the bracha of Ephraim Menashe? Furthermore, right at the end of that pasuk, it says, in Perek Memches, pasuk of Beis, that, again, Yaakov's talking to Yosef, and he says, Vanina tati lecha, Shrem, I gave you over. Shrem, achad alachecha, asher lakachti miyad, hemori becharbi bakashti. That I'm going to give you over Shrem, that which your brothers took over, becharbi bakashti. Rashi says that, what are we talking about? When Shimon and Levi took over Shrem, they went with swords. But it's very interesting, because Unklus says, what is charbi, what is a sword, and what is a bakashti, a bow and arrow? Bisalosi ubaosi. Bisalosi, slosun, we say all the time, and we say Kaddish, tikabel slosun. Why is that tefillah? What is bacharbi with my sword and my bow and arrow have to do with tefillah? That is the question of the Meshech Chochmah. And lastly, we won't call it four, but it's definitely four. I don't want to scare anyone, but it's four. We know that we learn about the rebuke. Yaakov gets all his children together, and he starts rebuking and telling them. Again, the Shiftei Ka, the 12 Shvatim, the Gemara tells us in Tzachim, that Yaakov is Zeiche, that he didn't have anyone off the Derech. Avraham had a Yishmael. Yitzchak had an Esav. But Yaakov, the Shiftei Ka, the Gedolim. So everyone was a tremendous person. But now Yaakov is giving them rebuke at the end of his life. And we know in the first couple to Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, he's really knocking him down. And when he gets to Yehuda, Yehuda steps away because, you know, Yehuda had a tough history. We know that Yehuda had a tough history with Yehuda and Tamar. And again, he had a tough history also with selling. He was involved, one of the major players of selling Yosef. Question is, did Yaakov really know that or not? That's also a very big question. Did Yaakov ever know exactly what happened? From the Midrashim, it seems that he didn't. Very fascinating discussion. However, so Yehuda, Rashi tells us in Memteschet, that Yehuda started backing away. And Yaakov said, don't worry, I'm not going to scold you. But there's another fascinating Medrash. The Medrash says that when Reuven, the fact that Reuven got criticism, he got rebuked at the end of Yaakov's life, he was older. But if he got rebuke when he was younger, the Medrash says he would have went over to the side of Esav. And that Medrash is a perplexing Medrash because these were the Gedolim. These were Shakua in learning in Torah. He was going to go over to Esav because he got a little rebuke. What is rebuke? Why would he have been so Eis Mensch, Eis Gehalten, that he would have went over to Esav? Why is that? So again, let's just review. Again, a lot of different ideas. We're going to try to put it all together like we always do. One big chillin'. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But question one is, how come the death of Yaakov created the start of the Shibud? Question two, Ephraim and Menashe, why is that the bracha that we give to our boys? Question three, what is the Lashon of Becharbi Bekashti with my sword and my bow and arrow? Why is that, says Unklis, Salosi Ba'usi? Why is that reference to tefillah? And lastly, if Yaakov gave rebuke to Reuven when he was younger, he would have went to the side of Esav. What is this whole idea of rebuke? What can we learn about rebuke? So we're going to try to build the yisoid. Yaakov's at the end of his life, and we've spoken so much about Yaakov, the struggles, the alai, the Esavs, the loved ones, the Yosefs, the struggles of Yaakov Avinu. And Yaakov wanted to reveal to Klal Yisrael the end of the days. He wanted to tell them all of the tsars. He wanted to show that we're going to put an end to all these tsars. And you know what, with all our gullus and all our struggles and all our things and still involved in Corona, and we have to daven, and Baruch Hashem, a miracle that we have a vaccine. And it's the end of the year, the non-Jewish year, we're at the end. COVID-19, right? And now we're at the end of 2020, what's going to be? What's going to be next year? And we have to daven. And Yaakov wanted to reveal it to us. And then Hashem said, I'm really sorry. I'm not letting you reveal it to us. Because you're in this world to work. And you're not in the world to just get everything as a free present. And Yaakov is not going to reveal it to you. And the Gemara says that he said, the Gemara says in Psachim Daf Nunva, very fascinating Gemara. The Gemara says that he said the words, Baruch Shem Kavod Machuso Liolam Va'ed. And the Gemara in Chagiga and Daf Yud Gimel on the base to Yedawan Amar Aleph says, that these six words represent the six seraphim, those celestial angels. And after, says the Gemara, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and there was no more Shekhinah, again, there's maybe some element of Shekhinah, but we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Even in the second Beis HaMikdash, we were missing, the Gemara tells us in Yuma, that we were missing certain things. We didn't have the Aron, there were certain things that we lost Shekhinah after the first Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara says is that we went from six celestial wings of the angel to four. And the Vilna Gaon says that, what does that represent? And he says, Kivod Malchuso was taken out. Baruch Shem, Kivod Malchuso. And we say it three times in the Dami, in our Atzeret. Kivod Malchuso, the glory of our Malchus. Sometimes we say Asher so fast, we don't even know what we're saying. But we talk so much about different things in Asher, and it says, Kavod Malchuso, we want that covered back. Right? We say every time in Davening at the end, right before Shema, Lishimcha HaGadol, that we want Hashem's name great. Tosfos tells us in Brachos Nafgimel, that only when we have Al Yad Kes Ka, when we realize that we have the Shekhinah, and Yaakov wanted to reveal the Shekhinah, but since the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem said it's not happening. It's not happening. I'm not giving him. Because the Kavod Malchuso is not there. And that's what we're striving for. We're in this Golus. We're in this Golus. And Baruch Hashem, we have Eretz Yisrael. But we're not there yet. We don't have Mashiach. And no one should ever forget that. Yeah, we're towards it. But we're not there yet. We don't have the Shekhinah. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash yet. And it's very interesting. Because right in the beginning of the parasha, Yaakov turns to his son Yosef and he says, swear to me. Swear to me that you're going to take me, you're going to put me, Vasisi Amadi Chesed Ve'emes. Chesed, kindness and truth. Rashi says that what is the kindness? Chesed She'osin Im HaMesim. Because when you go and you bury the dead, you can't do any greater chesed. Because they're not alive anymore. They're in the Olam HaEmes. And now you're doing straight up chesed. Says Rav Zevin, one of the Gedolim, he wrote the Encyclopedia Talmidut, genius upon geniuses. Rav Zevin says, and the great Rav Yerucham Lovavitz also says a similar idea in his beautiful Sefer on Chumash. Okay, Rashi's right, but chesed emes maybe means something else. Is that there's this dialectic. But it's really supposed to, I just want to say the word dialect, but it's really supposed to come together. Because on the one hand you have chesed, you have kindness, and on the other hand you have emes, you have truth. And if you do too much chesed, and you do too much just keep on giving, the Rashbam writes that Avram, right before Akedas Yitzchak, Avram, very radical opinion, but Avram did a peace treaty with Avimelech. Says the Rashbam, that's why he was punished. That's why he got a Kedas Yitzchak. Great, radical opinion. Right? Again, we view it was a Nisayon, but we spoke. Whose Nisayon was it? Was it Avram? Was it Yitzchak? But the Rashbam says that he was punished because he kept on doing Chesed, but he went too far. Shol, he didn't kill Agag. He was trying to be a nice guy. Hashem says, do something. Don't put your own reasoning into your own hand. I'm from Levitz, I'm Purim. He was trying to do too much chesed. So everything says the Heiliga Rav Zevin, says the Heiliga Rav Yerucham Lovavitz, Rav Mashkiach of the Mir Yeshiva, that you need both chesed and emes. You need the kindness. We spoke about it last week. Avram represented chesed. And Yitzchak represented gvura. And Yaakov, the Gemara Makkos tells us that Yaakov represents emes. But emes is taking chesed and emes and meshing it together. And that's what Yaakov was about. He turns to Yosef and he says, Yosef, I'm going down, I'm going to be in the Golus, I'm going to be in Mitzrayim. But the only way it's going to work is Chesed and Emes. If you want to get out, if you want to make sure that I get my body out of here, if you want Klal Yisrael to continue, there needs to be an element of Chesed and Emes together. But again, if you only have straight Emes, straight truth, that's also, you have those people that are boom, boom, boom. Straight up, they're sometimes difficult to deal with. You need both, with the right hand, chesed and emes. They came to the Vilna Gaon and they said, right, the words right after Shema, emes, v'yatzev, v'nachum, the 15 words. They came to the Vilna Gaon and they said, those 15 words represent the 15 psukim that we say in Kriyat Shema. And they said, Emes represents Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And the Vilna Gaon said, I like it. Right? When the Vilna Gaon says something, I like it, it's good. You remember that. I like it. Right? The Gedolim, the Vilna Gaon. It's amazing. You know, I Baruch Hashem, I've been over to Rav Chaim Kanievsky many times. He gave me a bracha, Baruch Hashem, bracha from the Gedolim. To have children and bonim, unbelievable. I remember my whole davening switched because I turned to Rav Chaim and I said, listen, I'm a kohen, sometimes I miss Birchas Kohanim. And he turns to me and says, no. You have to make sure you get Birchas Kohanim in the past 8 years. Right? My father comes to Israel. Baruch Hashem, they come a lot. They should come more. And he's like, well, I'm your kohen. Why are you not duchening? Baruch Hashem. Again, I got a psak sown in America, a big paisek. But maybe I'm the Rosh Hashanah Esrei. I don't have to duchen. Okay, it's not halachish here. Uncle G, we'll do it one day. Best Hashem. But Rav Chaim told me, no, go through the davening. Go, make sure you duchen. It was awesome. I was just on a trip with yeshiva. And we went on a trip, and we went near Meron, beautiful, smooth digs, and me and another Rebbe, there was a later minion, and they stayed up the whole night. We got to the place at 1 o'clock in the morning, literally, I'm not even exaggerating, 1 o'clock in the morning, and the guys were up all night. But what happened, most of the guys went on a tuyul, they didn't go to sleep the whole night, going in a pool, doing the whole thing, a little corona, and they did a tuyul. So there was only like 20 guys around, maybe a little more. And me and Rebbe went out. We couldn't find a minion. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to miss Birchas Kohanim. And I went to the guys. I'm like, I know you didn't sleep all night, but please get up. And the guys, one by one, started getting up. And I said, ah, Hashem, Birchas Kohanim. Okay, why am I telling you this? Because the power of the Vilna Gaon, he liked it. Because Emes represents Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Oh, so what's Ephraim and Menashe? Why are we making bracha of Ephraim and Menashe? So one answer, everyone has classic answers, a lot of answers. This is the first, Yosef tells Yaakov, you're making a mistake, my oldest is Menashe, and you're putting in the wrong end, and he switched it. And guess what, this is the first time. We have a lot of sibling rivalry. You would think Yaakov wouldn't mess around with this, you know, Yaakov and Esav, and the whole story with Yosef. You think that Yaakov maybe shouldn't mess around with this. And he still did. And guess what, Menashe didn't say anything. We make a bracha, Menashe and Ephraim. You know why? To show. I'm gonna let things slide a little. No sibling rivalry. We had a lot of sibling rivalry. A lot of stories. Difficult stories to fully understand. Difficult. We're still suffering. I know we say every week when I talk about Yosef, talk about my mother. You know, she put in the emotion, told me, listen, how can it be? I hear it. Listen, a very difficult story. We're still suffering from it. But we have a kapara here. Even according to the Barbanel, it says that Yosef, at the end of this week's parsha, also Yosef forgave him. He said, don't worry, Hashem did it, right? To live with the Rabban Hashem. But to show the Menashe, he didn't say anything. Sibling rivalry, he knocked it out. And that's what we want from our children. We don't want sibling rivalry. Oh, why by the girls do we say Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah? Because the Gemara tells us in Megillah, famous Gemara, that Rachel gave the signs over to Leah. There was no sibling rivalry. She was helping her. A sibling helping one another. Great. Answer number two. I heard from Rosh Hashiva, Rav Isaacson, Rosh Hashiva III. He said, because we know when Yaakov gave the brachas to Ephraim, he said, you are going to be like Reuven and Shimon. But what do you mean? They're grandchildren. No. We see the potential. Whenever we give a bracha to our children, we're saying, you think you're this? You could be greater. Potential. More. You think you're just my grandchildren? You could be like my Shvatim, like Reuven and Shimon. And the third classic answer, which everyone says, Soloveitchik said this often in Shiurim, that this is the first bracha, because it's in Mitzrayim, it's in the Golus, and we're still in the Golus. And we're working through and working hard, and we have the Torah, Baruch Hashem, and we're steiging, and we're growing. But we're still in the Golus, and we need to take the Ephraim and the Menashe's to show that we're going to be strong even in the Golus. So Yaakov turns to the sons and he starts giving them rebuke. And Reuven, if Reuven was younger, he would have turned to the side of Esav. Why? Rebuke is hard sometimes. No one should ever criticize anyone else. Sometimes in my shir, I see it. Actually, I have to talk about them with it. Sometimes you have guys. You have a guy. You know, he doesn't show up so much. He's sleeping a little bit. Okay, any of my guys in my shir are listening to this. Not you. Right? Baruch Hashem. Guys are steiging. But there again, you have occasionally guys not doing great. And sometimes, you know, guys get under their skin and be like, oh yeah? You haven't been in shir the past couple of days. And he rips into them. And it hurts a little. And again, no one has any right to make anyone feel bad about themselves. No one does. Right? No one likes rebuke. Sometimes rebuke stings, right? It's not good. It stings. It hurts us. And that's what the Medrash is saying, that if Yaakov gave the rebuke to Reuven when he was young and he wasn't built up, he could have just turned to an Esau. He says, I don't need this. So everyone has to, people have to be careful what you say. However, I once heard from Dr. David Lieberman, very famous speaker at Torah Anytime, tremendous therapist in Lakewood, a Baal Tshuva that wrote books, bestsellers, New York Times, tremendous, tremendous speaker. You could Google him, David Lieberman. He said a very powerful thing. He said, though, a person needs to build themselves. If someone would say to someone, you know, you look like a dragon. So a person would look back at the person and be like, I look like a dragon? You think I'm a dragon? Come on. And he would just ignore it. But if a person says something that kind of hurts us a little, maybe there's like a little truth to it. That's why it's starting to hurt. However, he said like this. He said, I'll save 30, 40 years of therapy. What a person says or does to you has nothing to do with you. What do you mean? It does. They're saying things to me. You're telling me what someone says or does to me has nothing to do with... No. Sometimes people say things because they're in bad moods, which I've spoken about before. Oh, but he said this to me. But maybe he doesn't mean it. But he said... What someone says or does to you, because if someone's going through a hard time and then something happens or someone does something to them, they'll snap at them. But imagine, someone's going through a hard time and all of a sudden they're told that they won $150,000. And then the person does the same exact thing. And they're like, oh, not a big deal. So you see, it's not so clear. Right? But what a person says or does to you sometimes is what the person is feeling. It's just they're taking their feelings and putting it onto you. Again, but it's easier said than done. It's hard to fight against this. But if a person builds themselves up and sees, wow, I have milas, I'm strong, I could fight against it, that's tremendous. But again, no one has any right to make anyone feel bad. However, when a person does say something to us, that hurts us a little. Right? Sometimes you have little kids. Little kids are so straight and they're so honest, right? You go over to a little kid and you're like, oh, I'm wearing a nice outfit. Look, I look nice, right? Do I look, does this shirt make me look a little fat? So they're like, no, the shirt doesn't make you look fat. You're fat, right? You just have kids, they just hit it right, the nail on the head. They just say it like it is. So they're honest. So sometimes when people give us rebuke, obviously we don't like it. And obviously the rebuke has to be coming from a good place. Especially if we don't like who the person is or we don't hold the person, usually we'll fight back. So one great Musser moment is that when someone says something to you that you don't like and you bite your tongue, you will get such schar. There's an idea that if someone says something to you and embarrasses you or really knocks into you and you don't say anything, then you should go and give a bracha to someone because that bracha will be makayim because you just bit your tongue. You wanted to yell back. And you didn't, that shows that you have tremendous self-control and you're not going to let it get to you. However, sometimes when someone does say something to us that hurts us, maybe they are saying the truth. That's why we're getting hurt. So sometimes Hashem is telling us, I'm giving you a wake-up call. I'm giving you a wake-up call. Maybe you are. Maybe you're not working as hard as you can. We might get defensive. But sometimes we have to look within ourselves because we have to realize that the Ribbono Shel Olam, again, no one has any right to do what they're doing, but still Hashem created that person said that to you. So now that person said that to you, how do I respond within myself? Maybe I can make myself stronger. Whatever the area is, that's what rebuke is. And that's what Yaakov was telling over to his children. He wasn't scolding them, trying to knock them. Having like sheer, like, oh, I'm going to knock you. No, he wasn't trying to knock them. He was trying to build them. He was trying to make them stronger. When Reuven was young, he wouldn't have been able to handle it. He wasn't strong enough.
But after Reuven got older, he built himself. And he said, my dad is trying to help me. How is it possible that Yaakov was able to give over 12 such different personalities? You look through these fucking beautiful. You could just look at these Rashis, right? And just so many beautiful psukim about our Shvatim. Because he took every personality and he built that personality. He looked within that person and he said, I'm going to give you something. And the Shvatim didn't view it as rebuke. They might have viewed it as rebuke a little. They got scared. But he was trying to build them. That's what Yaakov was about. Yaakov was about looking within. Comes along the Meshech Chachma. And the Meshech Chachma says, beautiful. Why is it? And when Yaakov said to Yosef, he said, "Bacharbi ubekashti." Says the Meshech Chachma, what does it have to do, ubeusi v'salusi? Because Yaakov was telling Yosef, it's like we've been saying so far, you're going to be in the Golis, you're going to be in the Mitzrayim, and it's going to be difficult, but you need to believe in yourself. The Or Chaim says that why Yaakov passed away, and then the Shvatim passed away, and then Yosef all of a sudden was achieving Mitzrayim, the Or Chaim says, remarkable. They started losing the chashivas of themselves. They didn't hold in themselves. Yosef was the strongest power, the second in command, Yaakov and the Shvatim. But once they were dying out, then they didn't hold in themselves. The Yitzhahara says, the great Rechaim Shulevitz, the Yitzhahara grabs onto us. He says, you're nothing. What are you here to accomplish? And we say, it's not true. I can do more. I could get closer to you. That's what the Menashe and the Ephraim is, that I'm in the Golos and I still can make it. I could push myself. Says the Ramban, why did Yaakov make Yosef take a shvua? Why did he make him take a swear? Why did he make him swear? You know why? Because when you're pushed against something and you know you need to do it, then you're going to do it. Sometimes we push off things. Someone else will do it. It's okay. But when a person sees within himself that he could do it, since Yosef took a shvua, he said, I am going to get my father back to Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to make it happen. And we need to realize within ourselves that we can make more things happen. The Gemara tells us in Zvachim, the bracha for Binyamin, the bracha, beautiful bracha for Binyamin. Binyamin was told that what? Binyamin was told that Kol Elu, that I'm going to give you, it says in Perek Memtes, Pasuk Chavzayim, Binyamin Zev Yitrafa Boke Yochal Adol Erev Yichal Shalal. I'm going to give you these great things. And the Gemara Zvachim says that the portion of Beis Hamikdash was put in Binyamin, and part of it was going to go to a different Shevet. And nevertheless, Binyamin pushed because he said, I'm not going to give up. I want everything. I just want more. And that's the Yisod. It says in Meshech Chochma, Bacharbi Bukashti, a cherev is a sword. Our tefillah, our confined tefillah, putting yourself in a minyan and being with the rabbin, that's cherev. But what's a keshes? A keshes is a bow and arrow. The more you pull back, the farther it goes. Says the Meshech Chochma. The more we pull back to the Ribbono Shel and say we're in the Golus, Baruch Hashem. We're learning. We're trying to do whatever we can, but we're in the Golus and we want the Shechina. Yaakov wanted to reveal to us the Shechina, but Hashem said no. And that's what we have to realize, that we have the cherev and the keshes. We have to keep on pulling back with our tefillahs, with our prayer, realizing the Ribbono Shel Olam is in our lives in a very real way. Realizing that we have chesed and emes. Realizing Ephraim and Menashe, we have brachas, and we could push ourselves more and more and more. Or at the end of Sefer Bereishis, Sefer HaYashar, Ma'aseh Simin Labanim, Chazak Chazak V'Nit Chazek, we should just keep on growing, realizing that we're going to get out of this gullus. We're going to get out of these hard times. The Ribbono Shel Olam has big plans for us. And we learn it from the Yaakov. We learn it from the Shvatim. We say, Chazak, Chazak, V'nit Chazek. And we're just going to try to build ourselves as much as we can, realizing that we're going to survive this gullus. And we're just going to keep on pushing and becoming greater and greater. Everyone should have an amazing Shabbos. Chazak, chazak, v'nit chazek.